Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover Live at Build. My name is Nathan Totten, and I will allow you to introduce yourself this time.
You're so generous, Nate. Thank you so much. I'm Nick Harris, and today we have...
I'm Johnny Khalifa from Yearly. I'm glad to be joining Nathan and the invited host, Nick.
the semi-regular, the past host, Wade, was making fun of Nick as being a temporary guest,
an occasional
regular guest, I guess. So anyway, so why don't you tell us a little bit about, before we kind of jump into questions. So you're at a startup, and your startup, Satya mentioned you guys. I talked a little bit about you in the Build keynote. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do, what you build?
So we are happy to be like featured on the keynote. Satya showed Mirly. Mirly is like a big canvas to grow ideas together. It's a web app that lets you drag pictures, sounds, videos, images, whatever, around from the web and bring it to a space where you can collaborate with other people and then like create a presentation on top of it. Yep. So we are really excited. We are running on Windows Azure and we are doing all this. And we are really happy to be part of the keynote and be part of this, like being here. I know that the cloud cover that we did, like in-depth architecture, yep, just went live. So I'm really happy to be here.
In front of this enormous live studio audience.
Yes. Yeah, it's like I feel in the like CNN or something.
Yes, definitely.
They're all applauding at the moment. Yeah.
So your app again was built on Windows Azure. You use Windows Azure websites, correct?
Exactly.
And it's a HTML5 app.
Yeah.
And it uses like the IE10 touch events, all kinds of cool stuff like that.
Yeah, so we have an app that is written in Node. So we've written the app in Node. And we put it up on Windows Azure websites. We are running the app there. It's an HTML5 and JavaScript app that runs on most of the devices. We recently added support for the IE10 touch events and the gesture API. It's great. I mean, you should try it out.
Cool. So I think we're going to take some questions if we have any. We've got Nick, who can answer a variety of questions on Windows Azure, mobile services. Johnny, who has tons of experience on Windows Azure. And I'll probably just make up things.
Well, that's not out of the ordinary.
So we don't have any questions. Why won't somebody ask a question? We're going to sit here in silence until somebody asks a question.
I think the view count is at one, and that's the guys backstage
the view
watching.
Count, yes.
Yeah.
All right, and everyone just sit in silence until we get a question.
So, let's talk a little bit about what we saw in the keynote this morning.
All right.
So, there's one. Johnny.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You. I will read it.
I'm going to do it. No.
Okay.
Fine.
Okay. Who will read it?
Okay.
Shall we take turns?
No, go for it. Go for it.
Okay. The occasional guest host will will read this one. So we've got a Twitter question here from John. Are you happy with Node.js on Azure?
Definitely. As like, the truth is, like, most our developers are on Mac. Like, we run mostly on Mac.
We are all getting fired now.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we run on Mac, and we do Node.js. We really like this. And the fact that we can use transparently Node.js on Windows Azure, even running on Windows, which is like a little percentage of what we do, it's like developed on Windows and it runs seamlessly, it makes us really happy. They have like a couple of things that are really like key for us. One is the zero downtime deployment. Like, we get deployments right away. As we mentioned on the keynote, we are doing like 20 per day, so it's great. The other thing is the update in place. Like, we are becoming a big app, so we are depending on a lot of NPMs. So each time we get a deployment going on, we don't have to go and re-download every NPM. So that makes us really, really happy.
Cool.
So why did you choose Node out of interest, like from an architectural standpoint? Like, you could have built it on other technologies or stacks. So what's the story
basically
behind that?
Basically, the story behind that is, like, first of all, we are like a mixture of developers, some coming from Java, some coming from C#, some coming from the client side. So everybody knows JavaScript. So that was a safe bet on the experience. Like, we can get everybody to debug and learn to code on Node because they already know JavaScript. That is one. And from the architectural standpoint, leaving aside the team, we are serving 80,000 requests per hour per machine. So the way that our app works, since we are mostly a single-page app, we have the client sending posts back to the server. And we do like a high I/O. So Node is great for that. Like,
cool.
If we had C# async before, we might thought about that. But Node gives us transparency on the I/O stuff.
So one thing before we go to this next question, I know you had talked a little bit about how you had used or tried other platforms. Can you tell me a little bit about how you didn't start with Windows Azure, correct? You moved to it. Can you tell us a little bit about how you made that journey to Windows Azure and ultimately settled on using it?
Yeah, so this is how you get rehired again. So
exactly.
We started out on Google App Engine and Java. So we didn't like Java. It started as a prototype. We were using Google Closure tools. We thought maybe trying Google App Engine. Deployments took up to 20 minutes. Some of you are like familiar with that. Some of you don't. Windows Azure website gives us that. We did a little hop on Heroku, but the fact that Heroku had to recreate the process, download the build pack because we were using a custom Node.js version, and the fact that they reinstall every NPM each time you deploy the app, that made us like go up to 5 minutes deployment time. So given the amount of deployments that we're doing and we want to keep it under 3 minutes, we tried Azure and we stay there.
And cool, that's awesome. Yeah, I'll hopefully now be able to keep my job. So that we've got two actually questions here that are related, and I know there was actually a few tweets after the keynote. People asked how much Windows Azure costs for you. Some of the numbers, I know they said like you were serving up to, Satya mentioned you were serving up to 1 million requests per day, 80-some thousand requests per server on Windows Azure websites. What are your guys', what does Windows Azure cost you?
So right now we're really happy part of the BizSpark program that gives us free Azure. Just for the purpose of finance planning and all that, the actual services that we're using in terms of computing power, the websites, it will cost us around $120 to run the infrastructure.
Per month.
And that's websites, that's the bandwidth, the storage
you're
using, things like that.
We are serving up to 5 gigabytes of outbound traffic per month. So basically that it's like nothing because the bandwidth is really cheap. The computer power is expensive. It's $120, so it's that expensive that it can get. We are running our CI server out of a Linux VM on Windows Azure Virtual Machines, the Windows Azure Virtual Machines preview, so we are using that too. In fact, that will be the most, I don't know how much we'll be spending on that, but that will be like the most expensive thing that we are running on Azure.
Your CI server is more
right.
than your actual production.
Right.
So a website, very cool. Do you wanna?
Yeah.
Would you like to speak now?
okay. We have another one here for you, Johnny, from Matthias. It's, what are the tweaks you did to MongoLab to handle that load?
So basically, we have MongoLab guys to really help us on indexing. So the way our app works is like we batch a bunch of operations on the client. We send that back to the server. We take all those canonical model of operations and turn it into a huge Mongo update sentence, and that sentence has like it impacts many properties around the complex object that represent a mural itself. So we have the actual MongoLab team going over MMS, which is the MongoDB service for hosting, for monitoring, and they are also monitoring our page faults and index and all that. So they were like sending us like, hey, you should check this index, you should do this, you should do that. We are running off a preview of what they announced on the keynote today about MongoLab being offered on Azure. So we started with that a couple of weeks ago. We are really happy and they are helping us a lot. So I hope you get the same help.
Cool. So I think one that's been up for a while, this Nick might actually be able to answer. Can someone talk about, you want to talk about the limitations and use of the channel URIs for push notifications, particularly at large scale?
Yep.
Do you know?
Okay.
Do you know the answer, or we can, yeah. or just make it up? That'll be no. I'm just kidding.
No. So when people are dealing with push notifications at large scale, some of the key things they really need to start to think about there, say, if they're building a Windows 8 app, right? The typical flow for a push notification lifecycle, for those who aren't used to it, we'll cover that, and then we'll cover the scale out piece. So the typical flow is on your Win8 client application, you make a WinRT API call to request a channel. You then take that channel, and this channel is essentially uniquely identifying that tile for your application on the device. And with that channel, your cloud services are able to post tile updates. So that's how we start seeing the start screen come to life. So we take that channel from the client, and we post it up into our cloud service. Now, once it's up there, our cloud service is able to say, perhaps do whatever custom business logic we require to determine when those clients should receive updates. Now, if you're dealing with a potential user base of millions, you really need to start considering, how do you scale out that back end to perhaps do a big push? It may, for instance, be a sporting event, and you want to communicate that a touchdown was made or something like that. So what you need to do in that case is typically, some of the approaches I've seen is to take those channels, load them into cache, and then have each of those keys within your cache partitioning out, say, 1,000 channel URIs. You then scale out worker roles that go and hit a message from the queue which says, read cache key 1 or cache key 2. You pull that out, and then you pull those 1,000 channel URIs. Then you iterate through them recursively. So with that approach, each message within your queue then scales out to 1,000 pushes. And then you can have multiple worker roles pulling those off and then sort of blasting out those 1,000 at a time.
So basically you would recommend for handling scale using a queuing, like service bus or storage queues, using a queuing service to sort of handle that internally. Yeah.
Well, I'd recommend you have one thing, which is a loader, which gets those channels into memory. Into cache is a good place, because if you have to pull out 1,000,000 channels right from disk, it's going to be a much more time-intensive operation than from cache. And then the second thing is to batch those pushes to a large portion of channels and have worker roles doing many pushes per channel.
Cool.
So then on top of that, some things which are people sort of, they may get to that point, but then there's a lot of optimizations which people can sort of follow when doing push at scale. So say, for instance, when you push a notification, say a tile update, to that channel, WNS returns a response, and there's useful information within that. So say, for instance, if I requested for device status, I could see, for instance, a status there that Johnny's device perhaps is disconnected or temporarily offline. So I may want to exponentially back off sending to that individual channel such that my worker roles don't have to handle people who may not actually be seeing those notifications.
Cool.
So there's some tips there.
Sounds good. A lot of info, and they can you're kind of one of the experts on that, so they can send you an email or tweet to you.
Yes, it is at @ntotten.
We can't do that.
Yeah, it's live.
It's live. We can't. Where's our editor? Yeah. So, all right, let's do the second one, and then we'll move back to NoSQL. I think you'll be best to answer this. There's a sort of common question Joe asked. Would you consider Windows Azure Websites solution for simple static content? As in, if you're hosting on something like GoDaddy, would it be? I think would Windows Azure Websites be cheaper, faster, better, et cetera? So I think, the real thing to consider there is Windows Azure Websites are built for very scalable, very large, I think large applications like Johnny's. I mean, we're certainly not the low cost hoster. It's easy to find a site that you can host for very, very cheap, a dollar or whatever per month, or host something. You can host probably 100 static GoDaddy sites or static sites on GoDaddy. But we give you the free sites, but also, really it's designed, like, if you want to scale up to very large sites like yours, Windows Azure Websites would work
You can take advantage of the free tier, though.
Like, certainly, yeah.
If it's just serving static content, you put your web config to cache.
Yep.
And then you just use the free tier, and that will be enough. I mean, that will be cheaper, faster, because
it's free.
It's free.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Cool. So, this next one, Cordell. Yeah. Anyone know how to pronounce that?
Cordell Lawrence.
Cordell. I'm new to NoSQL, but what's the big difference between NoSQL DBs like Mongo and SQL Azure Table Storage?
So SQL Azure Table Storage, is it Table Storage or SQL Azure?
So yeah, so basically, what's the difference between you're right. SQL, you're right. That's confusing. So I think there's maybe two things. So SQL Azure, yeah. So let's just say I think he's probably asking table storage. Just tell us from your standpoint, like why did you use NoSQL DB like Mongo instead of using Windows Azure Table Storage?
So basically, our solution was initially conceived as to be to store each one of the different murals that are a complex JSON object on blobs. Like we try doing it on blobs. But there is a problem that is like, hey, how do you handle concurrency? You have to put worker roles, spin up queues, and do all that Nick says to handle concurrency when you're writing back to the thing. So we wanted to scale transparent. So we said like, hey, what's the thing that will manage concurrency for us? The MongoDB or the VMS, right? We'll send them these operations and it will handle the concurrency for us, and it will be fine. So that is how we end up using MongoDB. The fact that we can host like a blob complex object, we have a very big JSON object that has many level of depth where you can like update a property straight, like say, hey, for this record, go like 5 levels down and update this property, set this value, and I don't have to bring the object in memory, apply the operation and then sort it out in a special concurrency model. So that is what's the difference. SQL Azure, like the table storage itself is NoSQL and handles partitioning and all of that, but it doesn't, like as far as I know, it doesn't handle the complex kind of object model where you can nest many properties inside. Yeah. So we have, for example, a property that stores another JSON inside of it, which is another JSON that ends up being like a huge object. Each one of our murals is like, the least is like 500K, 200K, so we have everything in there. So the fact that we can run operations.
And you need to query, read individual properties, whereas that depth would be much less efficient on table storage.
And the fact that we can scale, adding more Mongo instances or scanning up the machines, it's a nice way to play. Like we can defer all the writes to one of the instances and use that routing and use Mongo to leverage all the stuff.
Cool. It sounds like really, table storage is an extremely scalable, for someone who hasn't looked into table storage, I think part of the reason you chose Mongo is the complexity of your data structure. If it was a simple or say flatter data structure, table storage would almost certainly be less expensive and probably more scalable if you had, depending on like the different types of things you're doing, but most likely you could have more query operations, things like that. But there's limitations, the object depth, the queryability, things like
size
that.
Of a table.
Size of the table,
It depends on how you structure your data, right? Windows Azure Storage give you sharding for free. Like you can have many shards using the partition key. This is something that we will figure out with time with MongoLab guys, how to shard our database and do all that. But that's because of a proper requirement, and we don't want to like spend a bunch of workers and stuff to be like running the concurrency model. So it's an easy way to get going, and also it really plays nice with Node.
With Node, yeah.
So
for
it's
Node
like they are made for each other.
Yeah, I've got a question that's come up that maybe both of you can answer, because I know Nate's doing a talk on that this week, and you are a startup. So this one's from Gabriel. So is Azure a recommended platform for a small startup application?
You have to come to our talk.
Well, they're not going to.
They
I guess
may not be here.
They're not going to be here unless it's you.
The talk will be available online on Channel 9.
That's true. Right? But so, the short answer is, I mean, Windows Azure websites allowed you to build and deploy a website extremely rapidly. I mean, the reality is, like, even in some of the keynote demos and in the talks, like, we go from no website, create a file new project in Visual Studio to have something actually deployed. And I mean that's even though it's like a simple hello world or something, it is a real application. Windows Azure websites allows you to get started very quickly. It's free. You know, if you need a lot of storage, you can use something like Tableware Blob Storage, and it's going to be very, very inexpensive. If you sign up for BizSpark, you can probably even get it for free. Yeah. So I certainly would recommend Windows Azure Websites as something to use, or you know, or the whole platform. But for me, Windows Azure Websites is like very much something that will work well for a startup.
In our experience, it's like you have the GitBase deployment, which is a big win. You can start doing it from your first prototype and put your DNS pointed there and serve your app right away. We found out that MongoLab also has like the free tier for Windows Azure, so you can be creating the next Mirly on top of Windows Azure
Competing for free. Directly with you.
For free, right? And that's something that it's important if
through
you're
the store now, yeah. Right? Yeah.
So it is really, really like a good way to go. Like you will be like, I'm doing this. If I get users, I will start paying. If not, I will leave it there dusty and let it die for free.
That sort of happened to me with my
with your old. Yes. So this is actually an interesting question, and I think we probably both have opinions on it. So Adam asks, basically he's looking at asking, have we used TypeScript for Node.js development? Have you played around with it? What your thoughts are?
I've seen that it has like all the goods that the Clojure compiler is giving us, the type checking and all that, without needing to write all the Java doc, which is really awesome. And the fact that I've seen that they're already community building like a TypeScript require package on Node that you can directly require the TypeScript packages and run it. So we are definitely like we need to do some tweaks on our backend because we are growing fast. That would be one way to go. Like we really like the model and the fact that it doesn't change. Like we look at CoffeeScript mm-hmm. and all that, but you have to learn it.
Yeah.
Freaking new syntax and go play with the minus and the thing like look like C++ and all that and it's like I won't do like tab based coding.
I mean CoffeeScript is something that I've played around with it and I find interesting, but it is something else to learn and I do like that all JavaScript is TypeScript. And then TypeScript just adds on to it, which I like the simplicity.
Yeah, the fact that you can start, like, right now I'm looking into things that you can start adding value without having to rewrite the full application. Like I will grab what I have and I will start doing the new things on TypeScript and eventually migrate because that's what happened with us. Like we start working and then we're moving. So yeah, definitely the point that you mentioned of every JavaScript program is a TypeScript program. It's something that it's a good way to start, right?
Cool.
Yeah, so this is a good one. Can I take this one, Nate?
You sure?
Awesome.
I'll allow it.
Thank you. He's like this at the bars as well.
If you would just learn what kind of beers you like, I wouldn't have to order for you.
It's difficult over here.
It's getting weird now.
Let's carry on. So here's one from James. Can you be more specific about what's free on Azure? As a single developer, I really would like to use Azure if it is at a low cost.
So you can
put a website like literally what we are hosting merely or what you've seen on the keynote, the website. You can go file new website and run it for free. Yep. That would be free.
So I think let's just break
it. Let's talk
it.
About the tiers.
So there's two things. Yeah, there's two things. Like the BizSpark program, we give you actually like a certain amount of Windows Azure, and I can't remember off the top of my head, but if just go to Microsoft.com/BizSpark, and you'll see like we give you a number of compute hours, a certain amount of storage transactions. But then also, even without that, we give 10 free websites for Windows Azure websites for free, and mobile services is 10 also.
10
so you get mobile services for free.
Yeah.
What else? Anything else just straight
you have
up
a,
for free?
You have a data cap on storage that is free, like you have.
Oh, with Windows Azure websites, you can use a certain amount of storage for free. So just without signing up for BizSpark or anything. Then also, like we just actually announced for team development, we just announced today, yeah. 5 users for our Team Foundation services. So a small shop could basically run entirely on Team Foundation services. And then also, like, if you have an MSDN account, you get free Azure, all kinds of stuff. We really are it seems like we're trying very hard to have people not pay for Windows Azure. No, but there's, like, if you're a startup, like, you should absolutely sign up for BizSpark. It's available in, I think, most countries.
Yes.
You know, you'll get a lot of free Azure. And, you get, like, Visual Studio and a bunch of other stuff.
And I think that some of the things that were announced today on the store, like Mongola, Windows Azure, their new Relic, and all that, also have like a free tier that you can start using. So you can actually run your, if you're a small business, you can run it for free.
Yeah. So another thing, just closing on that, so anyone that wants to go and check out more about the free pricing tiers and such, you can go to windowsazure.com and select the pricing tab.
Yeah.
For the free offers, which Nate mentioned, being the BizSpark and MSDN subscriber benefits, under pricing, there's a members offers tab.
Yeah.
And within there, it goes out and lists out. You know,
and I guess also the most obvious, too, that I forgot is we give you a 90-day free trial, too.
Yes.
So even if you don't want to sign up for anything, like go through, even though it takes like 5 minutes to sign up for BizSpark, if you just want to go onto Windows Azure, you get 90 days of free use for a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
The other thing to clarify, which it's, this isn't like signing up for, I don't know, some other service where you put in your card in 30 days and then they start billing you. With Azure, you actually have to explicitly say, I want to, like, now go to the paid option. So it's really risk-free to sign up.
One funny thing is, like, if you do sign up for the trial and you do are running a production website, remember to check that. Like, we run into, like, we started with a free trial, we forgot that, and the site went down. Nobody know why. We forgot to tick the credit card thing.
Yep.
So.
Basically, if you run out of the free tier, it kind of turns off. But we did that because we wanted to make sure that developers were comfortable signing up for it, entering their card, and then not get like a random bill for $1,000 the next month. So you actually have to be very explicit. We'll tell you, like, you're doing something and this is now going to cost you money.
Yeah, but if you're the thing is, if you're trying the 90, you're starting off the 90-day trial and you put it your app in production on the 90-day trial, remember to check the thing.
Yes.
You'll be down.
Perfect. Good point. And make sure you got money in the credit card, I guess.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's do the blob. Actually, let's do the blob one. Does anyone know? I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, so there's a blob one here saying, recently I tried to upload a large blob in parallel in chunks, but it failed miserably. Any suggestions on this? So really it's difficult to tell without knowing, what your code looked like there and, where you were sitting on what type of network. But I think if you tweet a question at Jay Herdis, he'll certainly be able to
or
point you in the
send
right
Nick
direction.
An email with your address, and we'll put him on a plane, and he will go there and fix it for you.
That sounds good. I could use a holiday.
Depends where they are. If he, no.
I'll be in Vietnam next week.
There you go. So yeah, I think at CloudCover, at Anton or Nick. What is it, Cloud Nick?
Yep.
Yeah, we'll be happy to help out and figure out what the issue is. We'll get you in touch with Jay and get someone to answer that for you. With the free quick on the pricing. With the free version, I think you're asking of Windows Azure websites, you can't use a custom domain. That's correct. So with the free Windows Azure websites we give you, it's my website .azurewebsites.net. You do have to upgrade to the shared model to get a free domain, and we do support CNAMEs and A-Records, but that is a paid feature.
Yeah,
it's still quite inexpensive. It's like, do you remember what one shared instance, like $9 a month, or I think.
Yeah, I don't exactly remember. It depends on the number of instances.
Just one shared though, I think I'm pretty sure it's like $9 or
something.
Yeah,
it's like it has the same like any cheap ASP.NET hosting, like. Less than $20.
I'm announcing new pricing on Windows. No, it'll be what I say it is. No.
You've done that a lot on this show.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Right. On the 90-day trial, you do get. You can use the reserve, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The trial or BizSpark or anything like that will give you the shared for free. But if you're just paying as a credit card, it is the domains is something we've made as a paid service.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. We've got a bunch more questions. I'm kind of getting tired. Let's just sit inside now. All right. Why is the audience not laughing? There's thousands of people here.
Yeah, I wish you can see.
I keep looking over there, and there's like a picture of Bill Gates and stuff, and I'm like, oh, Bill Gates is watching. That's nice.
But how old do you think he was there? It looks like quite a young picture.
17 or 18. Yeah. That's like the founding picture when they were in Albuquerque still. Anywho, probably should do some of the questions.
Okay.
So
can we get some more questions up, Rick?
Yeah,
we
got continuous.
Did we Azure? Oh, actually the continuous integration. Yeah, let's. So everyone can see the questions, right? So I don't need to read them. So, why don't you talk about how you do continuous integration? I think you've got a really interesting solution.
So although I'm having a talk on that tomorrow, and we'll be live, check it out. We are doing, as Satya said, since we started, we are doing 1,300. More than 1,300 deployments so far. I guess there should be deployments going on. If you check the other cloud cover, the one that went live while we were doing the show, we show how the deployments keep going. Yep. So, yeah, it's like the best way to do the thing. Like, you have to ensure that you're not breaking the code, right? So we have many like contention things. One is the unit testing on the back end. The other one is a closure compiler on the JavaScript. The other one are like Selenium-based tests to do like a health check of the app. We do a CSS check. Once we are done with that, we put the app live. It's like there is no formal procedure of putting the app live. Like if I want to put a new version of Mirly out there, I just literally go into my shell, git push will work. Like there are some things where we use GitHub pull request. Like we are really big fan of that for big features. Like we have the discussions on the pull request and all that. And when we are good to go, we just go merge and it will fire up a new deployment process. So yeah, definitely. We found out that a best way to do that is like we are using the VMs. The Windows Azure VMs, the previous one, that also come bundled on the trial and all that, to run a CA server. We chose Jenkins because it was the easiest one to go to. I know that Travis and Team City also can be run on the Windows Azure VMs. That's something that you should consider. Like besides doing the actual continuous deployment and all thing, make sure that you have your build server up on the cloud, because most people like, we'll put it on this machine that is around there, and then the cleaning service comes, they take off the power because they need to turn on the vacuum, and then you're like running offline. So for us, it's as critical to have the CI server running as a production app.
Cool.
But yeah, definitely, that's the way to go. If you're a startup and you are not doing that, you're doing something wrong. So
yeah, I think a good thing. So for me personally, I'm a TFS guy. So a lot of what you just said there is available via TFS preview as well.
The
so
TFS services, the one where you get 5-3 users and or 5 free users. And the good thing about TFS does have the build and everything. And there's a...
I made builds deployments.
Yeah, you can do build. And the TFS services actually have a like direct integration with Windows Azure websites. So if you create a Windows Azure website, you can actually just click a link. You know, I don't know, remember what it's called, like link to TFS server, set up TFS deployment.
Yeah, set up TFS deployment.
Yeah, and it'll just go straight away. So there's a lot. I mean, you guys, Jenkins, like for Node, certainly works really well. If you're more comfortable with TFS, TFS services are also pretty cool.
If your process is not as big, you can even connect either TFS or GitHub accounts straight to Windows Azure websites without the need of even setting up a CI server. It will depend on how much time do you want to spend fixing your code and how many builds do you want to have. So as we do some stuff on the server before we ship the actual production version, we have to put something in between. But if you are running off, a prototype or your first version, you can connect TFS straight there and each check-in will generate the new. I know that there is a new feature that ships with the latest version of the Windows Azure website when you can like include a CMD file to like override the build process.
Yep.
So if you're like, I don't know, running Uglify or I don't know, uploading stuff to CDN, and you don't have a complex process, you can go straight using the build process built in into Windows Azure. It will X-copy your folder, run the process in there, and if everything works, it will X-copy to the www root.
Cool.
So here's one. Are there any plans to provide an email sending service?
Good
on
guy,
Azure?
Spammer.
I'm yeah. not sure. Like, yeah, should we he wants an email service, but what is this? We will not provide you a spam service, good guy spammer.
He's a good guy, though.
He's like, what is good spam? I don't know what that means. But I actually, right now we don't have anything.
But we are partnered.
So yeah, that's so we announced we kind of officially announced the Windows Azure Store today, and one of the companies in the store is SendGrid. So I mean, that's really one of the easiest, and I guess like I don't know, preferred or whatever. It's if you want to get started easily, like it's SendGrid is a great option, and now that you have the store integration. You know, you can just do that right from the Windows Azure portal. I think the idea with the store really is that, you know, there are a lot of services out there that we, you know, we're not going to be able to build every single service. So now that we have the store integration, other companies, other partners can come in and actually, offer their services through the Windows Azure Store.
We've used SendGrid many times from Azure, and it works.
Yeah,
great.
And I mean, we have Twilio for SMS.
Right.
I think you'll really start to see Windows Azure become a rich ecosystem of a lot of different partners and services. Some some services provided by us, of course, but a lot of services provided MongoLab, SendGrid, Twilio, Nudesic, all these different things eventually start to come into the portal and provide this rich ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So the third one, it's really quick. Like, how do you protect your app from reverse engineering? If you go to Murali.com or beta.murali.li, you will see that we're running the full app of a single JavaScript file. So we run through the Clojure compiler, the YUI minifier. I know that ASP.NET has a built-in minification thing. So we grab more than 100 JavaScript files plus our dependencies like jQuery and all that. And we bundle it, rename all the variables and all that, and we end up having a 500K cache file that if you open it up, it will be just one line with
mess.
A, B, C, and all the variables are the same.
I thought that's just how you coded.
Yeah, it's the old style.
The one-line wonder.
Perfect. Cool. Yeah, that would be... I think the answer is with
Minify.
JavaScript, they could still see your code, but like... It would be more work to get all your
obscurity.
Code than it would to rewrite it.
It's the same to bring it to the .NET work. It will be the same that's using the .fuscator, where you like grab all your code and it will look really ugly. And we even have like a contextualized variable, so you like all the functions are called like A B C D E F, and that's it. And it keeps repeating along all the 500K of JavaScript. So good luck debugging that. I hope you...
Challenge. The first person...
the first person...
You can be a guest on Cloud Cover if you figure that out.
So, that's it. There are plenty of tools. Like, there is Uglify, there is the YUI compression, there is this built-in... I mean, if you're an ASP.NET guy... Turn on that module and it works out of the box. So
yeah, it's not. It not only I probably can't say that word.
It compresses,
obfuscates, but it also compresses. Yeah. I mean, it's going to make your application perform better.
Yep.
So, awesome sauce. Okay, a couple on mobile services. Yeah, you want to bang those out?
Yeah. Can we develop locally in VS 2012 for Azure Mobile Services using JavaScript and deploy to Azure? Also, how can we debug mobile services? Insert, update, delete scripts. So. That's two questions in one from Janishans. So the first part of that question, can we develop locally in VS 2012?
Try to pronounce that name. That was awesome. I could not help but laugh.
Okay, sorry.
Not that I was doing any better earlier, but and the one I had was an actual name. That's, I think, just a Twitter handle.
So developing locally in mobile services. So currently, mobile services, there's two parts to the story, right? There's your client tier or your client application, and then there's your service tier. So on the client side, you can debug your client app and to the extent where it's going to perform the CRUD operation against mobile services. So once you hit that, though, you start executing server-side script. So that server-side script, as you may have seen in the keynote today, is edited within the portal. So to debug that, I think the second part of the question was, how do I debug that? You can't exactly attach a debugger to it. So the way that you can debug it is we provide a console object. So with console.log, you can go and start dropping those log information to the log files. And within the mobile services portal on the far right, there's a logs option where you can go and step in and have a look at what's been logged out. So that's the story today that we have.
Cool. And certain, I mean, mobile services is early and in preview. And
yes.
I mean, I know the like local dev and you know the source control stuff is something a lot of people have asked for. Not that I'm saying it's coming soon, but you know we're certainly trying to build an awesome service. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll get Josh to add some of that stuff in the future. So and then the TypeScript C# question, same.
Yeah. So I think that question's probably more related to IntelliSense, for instance, within the portal, like authoring your server-side scripts.
Mm-hmm.
So there are plans to improve that experience. I can't really comment on what approach they're going to use.
So I think at least initially, we'll definitely improve the actual experience in development. As far as adding new languages, that's not anything we have any announcements or plans to. They don't tell me anything because we get on camera and we can just say things. So
then they have to
we commit them to things, and so they really don't tell us anything anymore. No. The keynote, so your URL, someone who missed the keynote. So the keynote should be available on demand, if not now, soon. But the URL is mural.ly or just murali.com.
How do you spell that? Bob is an editor. This is live.
So it's M-U-R-L-L.
M-U-R-L-A, murali.
Right.
.com.
Yeah.
M?
Okay. No, is it .com or .ly?
Well, we have both.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
It's actually, mural.ly, but the .com is sort of easier.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Mural.ly, like you write mural.ly, that's fine, or murali.com, or search for murali on your favorite search engine.
Awesome.
I was looking at the Bing thing, and I was about to say something different.
Perfect. So one last question. We've got about two more minutes left. Do you have a high score in leaderboard cloud service for any developers? Michael asked that. So we don't have any gaming specific services.
Does Xbox have anything available?
Probably do. I'm not actually too familiar with what the Xbox Live services are. I think they do have stuff like that. I'm not sure how you use them. Can they be used like in a web app?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You can check the Tangster.
Yeah, so we did. Yeah, I mean, one thing to check out is we did build kind of a proof of concept game called Tangster, and we've got this gaming toolkit that we actually kind of show how to do that. But the short answer is we don't have any services like that. So,
can we spend the last minute
the last minute in silence. So we got about 30 seconds left. Anything? Any last words of wisdom you want to leave us with?
Don't miss our talk on Friday. The Windows Azure and Startup will be fun.
Cool.
Do not miss a previous cloud cover show that we've done, which is way more technical, like in depth.
Yep. You actually show code and talk about and actually show the continuous integration and stuff. So that's like if you actually I demand right now you close this window. No, keep watching. We're gonna have more stuff on. But on the Channel 9 homepage or just the Cloud Cover site, the episode just went live a couple hours ago, and Johnny goes into a lot of depth.
So that's one. And the other thing is, if you're really interested in continuous deployment, we are having a talk tomorrow with Justin from the Windows Azure website team. We'll be doing like hands-on things that we've learned along the way deploying Mirali continuously. How do we get to the 1,500 plus deployment? So if you're not here, Just check it out live. It's called like thing at doing continuous integration or continuous deployment with Windows Azure websites. Thanks for having me over. I'm like so often here like Nick. So
yes, recently. All right. Well, that's about all. So thanks, Johnny, for joining us,
and thank you,
Nick, for joining us. So with that, this has been our
Cloud
Cover Live at Build. So thanks for watching.
Thank you.